How many's ready to focus, though, on a new year? I feel 2020 was so difficult that we just focus on the problem. You know, it's what happens when your body's attacked with any kind of thing. All the systems go to focus on killing that thing out. And I feel that's what we did even as a church body. We just kind of focus on how do we survive and thrive through this. But now we're coming into a new year, and I feel it's time to dust off the vision box and open back up vision in our lives. And how do we do that? We do it through focus. So if you have your Bibles, open to the book of Genesis with me and turn to chapter 24. And we're going to talk about the story of Abraham asking his servant to go find his son Isaac a wife. It's one of the longest stories in the book of Genesis, one of the longest stories in the Bible, okay? And it's such a neat story, but it really does talk to us about and show us the power of focusing on a certain task at hand and getting that thing done. Now, since I've gotten a little bit older, a few years ago, I was having an issue focusing when I would read. And I'm a big reader and always have been, so it's like kind of my life. So I'm like, Lord, I got to be able, my arms aren't long enough anymore here to be able to read like I need to. So I got an appointment with an optometrist. I went, had a full-blown exam, and he came out and he told me, he said, Hans, you're seeing, your vision is perfect. Your eyes are healthy. There's no problem. I thought, okay, then what's going on? He said, okay, you're getting older. And this was the professional advice from the doctor. He said, here's what I would do. I would go to Dollar Tree. And I would buy several pairs of these reader glasses. And I'd put them in every room that you go in and put them in your car and you're going to be okay. So now I have several pair of those reader glasses everywhere I go, and it's really frustrating. I can't even really read a text properly without them now. Can I get any help in this house this morning from some people? It's amazing what happens, though, when you put them on. Focus changes everything. Okay, so we want to get all of our vision in focus for this next year, and I'm going to talk about focusing on doing what God has placed in your heart to do. Okay, focusing on what God has placed in your heart to do. So let's read the first four verses of this. After I put my glasses on. Verse 1 of chapter 24 of Genesis. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Now, scholars believe he was on his deathbed here. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but you shall go to my country, to my family, and take a wife for my son, Isaac. Okay? So here's the issue. Abraham is in the promised land that God has promised him. He's in the land of Canaan. All right? In the previous chapter, he just buried his wife, Sarah, and he had to go find a place for her to be buried. So he found this place at the cave of Machpelah. And he went there and he said, I want to buy this land from you. And the guys who owned the land said, no way, man. We're going to give this to you. You can bury your dead there. He said, well, what would you sell it for? They said, we'd sell it for this much. So Abraham counted out the money because he didn't want to take it for free. There was something about him buying a piece of the promised land and him burying his family on that promised land. And so then the next task at hand before he dies is to find a wife for his son Isaac. Because Isaac was the promised child. He was born, obviously, when Abraham was very old. And now Abraham's getting ready to die, and he realizes, my son is still single here. He doesn't have a wife, and I'm concerned about the covenant promise of God. Now, I'm reading between the lines, okay? But I'm concerned about the things God has promised me. that the covenant will continue, but for that to happen, this boy's going to need to get married. But I don't want him to leave here, because if he goes back home, he may never come back, and then we're going to lose the covenant inheritance. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call in my top servant and have him go find a wife for my son. And yes, teenagers, we are living in the days of arranged marriages here. And some parents wished it was still that way. Oh, hallelujah. So you got to understand, an ancient culture here, they're still arranging marriages, and he wants to go back to his people. And also, he didn't want him to get a wife from the Canaanites, because they were pagans. They worshiped other gods. And you know, he's found this great relationship with the God of Israel, and I think it's been transformative for him, and it's really the beginnings of the Jewish faith. He's not going to let that go, man. So what do you and I need to do if we want to accomplish something for the Lord? How do we need to, what needs to happen for us to focus to accomplish those things? Okay, I'm going to give you four things here this morning, all right? First of all, we need to figure out what the desires are in our hearts that God has placed there. We need to align our desires with God's desires. We need to align our desires with God's desires. This was a godly desire that Abraham had. I'm going to fulfill the covenant. I'm going to make sure, I'm going to do all I can do to ensure that the covenant goes on and is accomplished. So I'm going to ask you this year, 2021, what has God placed in your heart to do? What has He placed in your heart to do? And you know what? I'm going to be bold and I'm going to say, this is the year to do everything He's told you to do. Amen. This is it. This is the year to do all that the Lord has placed in your heart to do. Hallelujah. Why not? Is it going to be 2022? Are we going to start then? Or 2023? No, start now. Start in January. I got a date for you. Start January the 3rd, 2021. Begin the process of doing all that God has placed in your heart to do. Some people don't believe in New Year's resolutions. They think it just creates a defeatism in our life because we make all these resolutions and no one ever fulfills them, so we just come out defeated. Well, I don't necessarily agree with that, because I've known too many people who have made New Year's resolutions and have done incredible things. I had one couple here, came to me one year, and they said, hey, for New Year's, we decided, our resolution was, we're going to church this year. You know what? They came that whole year, didn't miss a Sunday to my knowledge. Still attached to our church. I've known other people say, hey, I'm going to read through the Bible this year. And they read through the Bible and it changed their life. I had one of my former board members at another church. He said, I'm going to read through the Bible with you, Pastor, in a year. He read through the Bible, transformed his life. Amen. My grandparents had served the Lord, but they fell away from serving God and spent several years out of church. One day, it was around New Year's, my grandpa came to my grandma and he said, this year, we're going to church and we're going to get it right with the Lord. They lived right next to a church of God in my hometown. And they got up the next Sunday, went to the little church of God. The preacher gave an altar call. They ran down to the altar and rededicated their lives to Jesus, lived the rest of their life for the Lord. So resolutions are not bad things. How do you begin anything without a resolution to do something in your heart? So this is a perfect time. If you fail in it, don't live in defeat. Come on. We're grown-ups here. Get over it and get on and do something else. Try it again. Dust yourself off and go on. Make a resolution to do some great things. So figure out what God has placed in your heart and align your desires with the Lord's desires. When we talk about the word desire, we often think that's an evil term, like we have these fleshly desires. Well, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about positive spiritual desires that God places in your heart. T.L. Osborne wrote a book years ago called The Power of Positive Desire, and I love T.L.'s writings. Anyhow, it's pure faith that God has placed in you the desire to do things for Him, and it causes things to happen and triggers actions in that start like dominoes. They start happening and things start happening in the earth realm. I don't know of anything I've done for the Lord that I didn't set out to do because He placed a desire in my heart. He placed a desire in my heart. And we set out, my wife and I, when we first were dating, we would pray together a lot. And we would often pray about what we wanted to do. We'd pray about preaching revivals. We'd pray about holding tent meetings. And we'd pray about traveling the nation. And, you know, evangelism was in our hearts and always has been. And we dreamed about that stuff. And then guess what? God started to give us the desires of our hearts. There should be a scripture somewhere that says He'll give you the desires of your heart. But find out what that desire is. Begin praying this year, right now. Today's the day. Lord, what are you placing in my heart? And I'm saying if He's placed a desire in your heart, it doesn't have to all be about church, too. It can be about building a barn in the backyard so you can get away from your wife and get out of her hair every now and then. Or maybe it's about starting a business, or it's investing money, or going back to school, or, you know, God places all kinds of amazing desires in our heart. Align those with the Lord and start to do something amazing this year. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when desire comes, it's a tree of life. We want His desire in our heart. In that book, Power of Positive Desire, T.L. Osborne quotes F.F. Bosworth, another great evangelist of years gone by. And he said, Bosworth said this, always desire what God desires. And desire for it for the same reason that He desires it. Then His Holy Spirit will work with you to give you what you want. Desire what God desires for the reasons God desires them, and then the Holy Spirit would join with you and give you what you want. So Abraham had a desire. My boy needs the right wife, right? It's good to get the right wife. My grandpa used to teach his family, Grandpa Hess, he said, you know, anyone can make you a wife, but you better watch who the mother of your children is. Some of you parents need to take that and use it. Don't even have to quote me. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Several years ago, I read this business book, and it was talking about this dream list of the desires of your heart. And this guy said, why don't you just take a piece of paper and let your mind go free. Don't overthink this. Just let your mind go and write down 50 things that just come off the top of your mind that you would like to do in life. Just let it roll. And so I did. And I started writing down, I'd like to do this, and I'd like to do that, and I'd like to do this, and I'd like to do that. And you know what I found out? Is that I was amazed at how many of those things on that list I've been able to do. Not only that, I was amazed at how quickly God brought some of those things into my life. Like one of them, I just said, I wrote down, I want to preach the gospel in the Caribbean islands. It was literally within a span of months, I was in the Caribbean preaching on my first missions trip. I also put down there, I want to plant a church someday. It was only a few years after that, I was knee-deep in my own church plant. I want to work on a PhD one day, but I know that's a pipe dream and it'll probably never happen. God opened the door, and I went into one of the greatest schools in America and started working on a PhD. I want to pastor a church. That's a great missions church. And plants other churches and raises up ministers. I think I'm in that church right now. Come on, y'all. I mean, do this thing. Sit down with a notepad and pen and start pray and then let your mind go free, man. And you know what I've noticed is that through the right walk with the Lord, the right prayer life, the right accountability in your life, the crazy stuff will get filtered out. The stuff that isn't God will usually get filtered out, and the gold will rise to the top. And those things you do accomplish that God really allows you to, He opens the doors for. He starts connecting you with the right people. He starts providing the resources that you didn't have that He provides. I mean, on and on and on. God starts giving you the desires that He's placed in you. So this positive focus allows us to accomplish the positive desires that God places in our hearts. Can somebody shout amen? Okay, next thing you need to do to get that focus is you've got to rally your resources. What did Abraham do? Abraham said, bring my number one servant to me. Bring the top guy. So they bring the top guy in, and he makes this deal with him. Now you go out, and you swear to me, okay, that you're going to do what I tell you to. And they had this little covenant agreement right there. And it's beautiful in the way it goes down. But he gets the resources around him. Now notice what he gives this guy. He sends him out to his homeland, and he sends him with 10 camels. At least this is what is revealed in the text. There was probably more. He gives him 10 camels, a hefty gold nose ring, because everybody wants a gold nose ring, 2 bracelets, silver, gold, clothing, all kinds of stuff that he's going to be able to bring with him to kind of show off the wealth of the family when they get to this girl. Okay? Rally the resources around you to accomplish the things that God has placed in your heart. Bring the best around you. Make friends with the person that is the godly connection in your life that you know is going to help you along this way. Come on, maybe go back to school. Maybe change jobs. Maybe move cities. Sometimes it requires that to accomplish the things God's placed in your heart. Maybe invest some money. Maybe learn a new skill. Maybe learn a new language. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, you can't just say, okay, give me the remote control, and I'm going to sit on couch for the next year and accomplish everything the Lord has called me to do. No, you got to get the resources around you to make this thing happen. Can somebody shout amen? Amen? So what are the desires that God wants you to accomplish this year? Then start making a list of the resources you're going to need to make this thing happen. Amen? Third thing that happens, we aren't told this explicitly here, but I'm telling you, Abraham creates a plan. He creates a plan. He tells him, he says in verse 6, beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, who spoke to me and swore to me saying to your descendants, I give this land. He will send his angel before you and you shall take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you'll be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Okay, he had a simple plan. You go to my homeland, find the right woman, because the angel's going before you. And then if she says yes, bam, we got a deal. If she says no, no problem. You're released from this. I love that. No problem, you're released from it. Got a plan, right? Go to my homeland, find a wife. If she says yes, we're in business. If no, you're released from it. That sounds like a 3-point plan to me. Because I think a lot of times we dream great things. Hans is number one guilty. A lot of times we have dreams and we have desires even that's in our heart. And then we sit around and it remains in the dream realm. And it never gets into the action plan realm. A vision without an action plan is just a dream. Okay, a vision without an action plan is just a dream. You can dream about it all day long to make it happen and bring it down into reality. You're going to have an action plan. Well, that isn't spiritual, Brother Hans. Well, yes, it is spiritual. How are we going to, all these spiritual things we do, I've been around a lot of great spiritual giants in my life, and I'm telling you, they were men of action. They had dreams from the Lord, and they put it to work, man. The great men of God that me and Jackie worked with would work your backside off because they had vision burning in them and they knew to get it accomplished, you had to put the rubber to the road and make something happen. Can somebody shout amen? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Are you hearing this for 2021? Some of y'all are going to do some incredible things in 2021. I believe it. Right out of this congregation, we're going to see some missionaries arise. Come on, we're going to see some churches planted. We're going to see some pastors, some evangelists come out of this thing, some Bible teachers. Going to see some businessmen start their first businesses or businesswomen. Going to see some people go back to school maybe. You thought you were too old. Listen, the devil's excuse is you're too young or you're too old. Get age out of your mind, man. Get it out of your mind because the devil comes and says, well, you need to retire from the work of God. There's no retirement from the work of God. We're always, there's no inactive people. There's no, what's it called? There's no reservist in the military of the Lord. We're all on active duty. We're all on call all the time. I don't care if you're 99 years old or if you're 10 years old. God's going to use you if you just open up and allow Him to do it. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. I look at my dear friends at Howingtons. They just, man, they're still taking the nations by storm. Recently went to Nepal. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Somebody says, well, I'm too young. Well, that's what Jeremiah said. And God came to him and said, shut your mouth. You're not too young. He didn't say it in those words, but he meant it. Don't say that you're too young. If I'm calling you, you're going to accomplish what I've called you to do. Well, hallelujah. Come on. Determine what you want to do. Rally around you the resources. And then create the plan to say, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. We're going to go about it, and it's going to be done. Because, you know, when God gives you a vision for something, it really comes as a mental picture often. Okay, so there's a website, an app that my wife used all the time called Pinterest. Come on. How many's not ashamed to raise your hand and said, I love Pinterest out here? You know why? It becomes a picture board of all that you like. So I'm telling you, when my wife was planning my youngest daughter's wedding, we did it here. She probably spent a year collecting stuff and putting it on Pinterest. I'm sitting there like, man, can we take a break? When we planted the Edenton Church, same thing. She probably spent another year on Pinterest creating ideas. But she could walk in a place like we walked in the Edenton church, and it was me, her, and Alan Meads. And we walked in there, and we saw the old, you know, the old sanctuary. And all I saw was old wood paneling, old pews, an old piano, and an incredibly strong sense of mold smell. But Jackie saw a children's facility with a stage. And then she saw a huge man-made tree on the center of the stage that would have a place above the tree where people could come out and do puppets or talk to the kids or whatever. I'm smelling mold and seeing old pews. Then she went to our Bezalel, his name is Woody Spruill, and she said, here's my idea. And Woody got on fire. Then they brought in some resources, a guy named Tim Long, who took drywall mud and had a certain tool that he put on this and made the tree look like it had real bark on it. Okay, this is one of thousands of things we've done. But it took somebody seeing that thing. It took somebody envisioning. When we built this building we're in right now, it took us sitting down and saying, what's this going to look like? What's it going to look like? Okay, one of my dear friends, Randy Hill, they've worked with Jim Baker for years, and regardless of what you think about Jim Baker, back in the day, his brother worked with him when they built PTL. I don't know if any of y'all remember PTL or went there in the day, but he said Jim was such a visionary. He would be like, I see the building. I see the left corner of the building. I see on the crown of it, and I see electrical outlet here at this point, and he said it was unbelievable. Unbelievable. People who God gives. Come on, God's given you. God gave us. That's what separates us. One of the many things from the animal kingdom. We have visionizing capacity. That now man's used it. Unfortunately, sin has corrupted that. And he's used his visions for evil. But I'm telling you, God's given you in the kingdom of God amazing vision. Hallelujah, to accomplish certain things. I was with a prophet the other night, and he told me, he said he had lost his wife as well, and he said, Hans, after I lost my wife, he said, the Lord spoke to me and said, go build out this little garage you have. It's detached from your house. Build it out into a place where you meet me. So I thought, I'm thinking, okay, probably looked okay, but I imagine it's just basic as we can get. He said, let me show it to you. And he pulled out his phone and he showed me a before and after. Before, it looked like an old, dirty, broken down wood garage detached from the house. The next picture he showed me was of leather furniture, a bookshelf, floor to ceiling. And he said, I spent 3 years there. And he said, it's like I couldn't leave because the Spirit would say, just stay. I was like, that's vision, man. To accomplish something God had dropped in his heart, and that was to meet with him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Come on, I pray God set you on fire. Set you on fire for vision that you can't even deal with it. You got to do something. Oh, hallelujah. Then the final thing that happens, and I love this, and this is where we need to land this morning. The final thing that happens is he says this. The Lord's going to send his angel before you. Then the servant goes with the camels and with all of that. And when he goes there, he shows up in Mesopotamia, in hometown, and he shows up at a well site where the family would have gone and gotten their water. And when he gets there, first thing he does, he prays. He says, okay, Lord, I pray. And he prays a bold prayer. He's not like, Lord, whatever you want to happen, let it happen. I'll receive anything. No, he prays a very focused and bold prayer. He says, Lord, I pray that the woman that's for my master's son, when she walks out, that she'll offer me a drink from this well. And then not only that, I pray then she also offers to water all of my camels, and I'll know she's the one. So what happens? Enter Rebekah. She shows up at the well, and she sees this guy weary from travel. She says, hey, could I get you some water? He's like, yes, ma'am. Then she says, and by the way, I'll just water all of your camels while I'm at it. And he's like, won't he do it? Come on, somebody. He was like, I'm going to shout right now. He depended on God. Yes, they had a plan. Yes, he's obeying his master. Yes, they had the resources. But you have to depend on God. Because in the end, God's going to get all the glory from everything we accomplish anyhow. Come on, somebody. God's going to get all the glory from what we accomplish anyhow. Something just dropped into my heart. I'm going to try to find it. But he goes and he's totally dependent on the Lord. So he prays again. Well, he gets bold again, I should say. He gets bold, and when he's taken to her house, first of all, at the well scene, he pulls out the nose ring. And he pulls out the bracelets. And she's like, oh, my word. She's like, well, come back and meet the family. So they go back and meet the family, and when they get back to the family, he pulls out the silver and the gold and the clothing. And the family's like, yes, she can go. You read the text, it's hilarious. Yes, it's a deal. And then he pushes further, because I believe this guy's a man of faith. He pushes further. They said, but just give us a little bit of time that we can spend with her, because we want to say her goodbyes and, you know, keep her here just a little bit more. He said, you know, could we leave right now? Because I really need to get back, and this thing needs to happen. And they're like, okay. Go on. Boom. He depended on God the whole way through. And if you look at it, let's look at it as an allegory. Let's look at it like Abraham is the Lord and we are the servants. And let's look at it in that regard. If we look at it in an allegorical way, then we're the ones that say, yes, sir, we'll do exactly what you say. Yes, sir, I'm being sent out to accomplish your task, but you're giving me all the resources I need, because all the resources of heaven are mine. And yes, sir, I'm going to pray and depend on you. If you don't show up, it's no problem. I'll go back home. But if you do show up, I'm going to know it's you. Yeah. Hallelujah. If you show up, I know it's you. It's a really a beautiful allegory if you look at it that way. So what happens? He comes back. And they make the journey back, and here rolls in the caravan, and here the dust is flying, and the camels are coming. And then Isaac looks from afar. Now starts the love story. The music begins. And Isaac sees the caravan coming, and he's standing out, and she asks, "Who is the man?" They said, that's my master's son. She veils herself. They pull up. She steps off the caravan, and it says that Isaac took her into his mother's tent and loved her. Boom. Job accomplished, servant done, Abraham's wishes finished. Covenant's going to continue now to the next generation. Come on, somebody. How many knows we got to depend on God? Though God puts stuff in your heart, you got to depend on Him. And at the end of the day, all the results are dependent upon God, not you. You work as if it's all dependent upon you, but we pray as if it's all dependent upon God. Right? You work like it's all dependent upon you, but we pray like everything belongs to God. Years ago, I used to have this burden on me. I preached a lot of revivals. I started out as an evangelist, and me and Jackie would travel and sleep on church pews and sleep in our van and preach revivals and do all that stuff. It's precious memories, but I was always felt like there was a pressure on me every night. Like if somebody didn't get saved or somebody didn't get a miracle or somebody didn't get filled with the Holy Ghost, I'd totally failed, and I'd failed as an evangelist, and I'd failed God and all that. And there's one point in my ministry, I was getting ready to preach an outdoor camp meeting, and I was going to go, and it's like a 10-day deal, and I was, you know, and somebody had given me a book by an evangelist, and I read this thing, and it set me completely free, and I've operated like that ever since. And that is, my part is to preach the word. My part's to have the plan. My part's to travel the miles. My part's to do what God's called me to do. My part's to rally the resources. My part's to learn the Greek and Hebrew. My part's to do whatever God says. But the results are completely dependent on the Holy Ghost and the Father. God's got to come and do it all. Hallelujah. Same in your life, man. You just do what God's called you to do and leave the results up to Him. If you go and you flop at something, you get back up and you say, no problema, I'm going on to the next thing and I'm going to see it happen. Because I could have stopped. I had a church plant that we shut down in 2009 and I could have said, that's it. Matter of fact, those thoughts came to my mind. I'm just going to go work a job. I'm evidently horrible at this. I might just better preach every now and then and leave this to somebody else. But then, lo and behold, if I would have stopped there, what would not have happened that has happened over the past 11 years? Don't stop. God will accomplish the desires that He really places in your heart. He'll give you all the resources, and He places a responsibility on you, but He comes with His power, and He comes with His prophetic insight, and He sends His angels before you, and He's going to accomplish everything that He set out. He promised us His word would not go out void. It would accomplish everything that it was sent to accomplish. Hallelujah. It's going to return to Him having done everything He set out to do. Come on, somebody raise your hand and say, in 2021, I'm going to do all that God has placed in my heart. I'm going to accomplish everything He's called me to do. Hallelujah. Now give Him a shout. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, give Him a shout. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of people are down on America right now. And I don't know what's happened. Judgment on America, this is not happening. Presidential elections, craziest we've ever seen. This is where my faith's at. I've been living my entire Christian life to see revival come to my generation and those associated with us in this nation. That's what I've been living for, and I can't help but believe God's going to send it in my lifetime. So I have great hopes for 2021. That what we went through in 2020 was preparation for what God's getting ready to unleash in 2021. Oh, hallelujah. That we're getting ready to go into something like we've never seen before. I believe it, and I'm declaring it and holding on to it in my heart. Can you believe that with me? Come on, you believe that? Why don't you stand to your feet if you believe that with me today? Come on, raise your hands right now. Hallelujah. God, we just call it in, Lord. All those things you place in our heart, those desires, God. God, we pray that you bring them to pass this year in Jesus' name. Oh, come on, raise your voice and just begin to pray. Hallelujah. Just begin to pray. Hallelujah. Pray in the Holy Ghost if you feel like it. Just go ahead. Hallelujah. God, we give you honor. We give you praise. Hey guys, thanks so much for watching or listening to our podcast. I'm so honored that you tuned in, and I pray the sermon was a great blessing to you. I don't know where you are right now in life, but I know one thing: God loves you and He has a plan for your life. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, how about praying this prayer with me, opening up your heart and inviting the Lord to come in? Come on, just a simple prayer. The Bible says, "Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Are you one of those whosoevers? If so, open up your heart right now and just pray with me. Just say, "Father in heaven, I accept Jesus Christ into my life. Forgive me of all my sin and give me a new start today. In Jesus' name I pray." And you can say amen where you are. Please join us online for more information. We hope you come back and visit us. And we love you dearly. And go follow God and go into the destiny that He has for your life.